Blog Talk Radio.
Koda, Mojuba Asheda, Mojuba Aluwa Mi, Apolabi Pega, Mojuba Araba Mi, Adesanya Awuyade, Mojuba Ogute Compound Ode Remo, Mojuba Baba, Mojuba Yeye, Mojuba Egun, to all the God children, Mojuba Egun to all the Babalawos, the Ears, Mojuba Egungun to all the chiefs, Mojuba Egungun to all the Awos, Mojuba Egungun to all those that are listening. Who are tuned in? We give praise and thanks to the Most High. You say Ashe, Ashe,
Ashe,
Ashe,
Ashe,
Ashe,
Ashe, Ashe, Ashe,
Ashe. The devil is a lie, and goddammit, I'm not a quitter.
You're damn right, goddammit. We ain't quitting over here.
I felt like throwing this.
I ain't quitter, man.
Man, I refuse to quit. I'm not going to let this shit defeat me. I mean it.
Man, let me tell you something. They said Tauruses are the stubbornest sign of the zodiac, and you my opposite. So, you know, the two of us together, they're going to have to come better than that. God damn it.
I'm right. It's me, you, and Jones on the line. Peace, Dr. Jones.
What's up, man?
What have y'all been up to? What has just happened?
Man, the same old, these damn Blog Talk or whatever it is acting up. You trying to mess with us.
Okay.
That's
okay.
All.
Okay.
All
right.
Yeah. And, you know, it did the same thing it was doing before. Just, you know, I went to try to open up the mics and it just spun around, you know, as if it was trying to load and wouldn't.
Okay.
I almost let it get the best of me tonight, but I refuse to quit.
Yeah. I'm with you.
If you quit, I quit, God dang it.
So what's going on, y'all? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to y'all. What's wrong with you, Dr. Joe? Like, you have to give your own self a prescription. You know, you do have that DR in front of your name, Pinter.
Brother. I ain't got that kind of credentials, brother. You know? just running around like crazy and all that, you know. I started back teaching this week, so I'm back on trying to navigate that.
You did
how many classes?
Yeah, I went back to teaching this week. I got four classes. I got about 300 students. So, yeah, it wears on me. And people want to meet and things like that. And then I'm writing for FM News and doing interviews for that and meetings and all that. So, yeah.
Okay. That's where I forgot you. School started back up for you.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you sound tired. Seem like I'm going to have to step up and fill in a little bit more for you.
Please do.
Red.
What you say, Queen?
I said, you know why he tired? He a newlywed.
No,
that's right. When you got married? When did you get married, Dr. Gunn?
August 9th, brother.
August 9th? Did you do it like me, where you just went to the courthouse and cut all the other bull, or you did the big thing?
Nah, we did the whole thing, brother.
You did the whole thing? Man,
yeah,
you better than
man.
Me, man. I saved me a whole lot of money.
Yeah, believe me, I know that. Know that all too well.
Oh, man. Sure, yeah, so we know exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm. He trying to play it off and blame it on school.
Uh-huh. It's literally work between, you know, we working towards a Labor Day issue for the paper,
okay.
So it's going to be a double issue. So I'm interviewing people in San Antonio, Houston, and Dallas, and it's hard to get black business owners on the line, you know. Very difficult.
Mm-hmm. Why is that? I mean, is it that they don't want to participate or
you know,
involve themselves?
I think that it's more of a, at least I would like to hope that it's more of a they're running their business, you know.
Okay.
And
okay.
I doubt that they have a big staff, you know. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
It's like with a restaurant, you know, and that's the majority of them. You know, they cook
okay.
whatever they do.
Oh, okay, okay.
You know, when I call people, well, you know, you only got the business phone, so you can't call them, you know, after hours.
That's true. Trust me, that was one of the hardest things. I know when I used to do the whole TV show thing or whatever, trying to get in contact with black business owners or, you know,
mm-hmm.
You call and just hope you get somebody, or you're trying to
yep.
set something up or an interview up, you hope you get somebody that knows somebody that can get the person you know or want,
mm-hmm.
I should say.
Mm-hmm.
I know exactly what you mean.
You know,
but,
you know the Breakfast Club, right, here in Houston? And the
yeah,
Reggae
I've
Hut?
Seen that a couple times. Yeah,
yeah.
Same person
I
own it.
Yeah, I'm going to interview the brothers on Tuesday. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. I tried to get them to participate. Now, check this out. He has the breakfast, the same guy, black family, whatever,
mm-hmm.
owns
Marcus
the Breakfast
something.
Club. Yeah.
Yeah.
He owns the Breakfast Club, and he also owns, you know, like you said, Reggae Hut. Now, the show that I had, it was called Caribbean Vibes TV. It was like what you see on BET and MTV. It used to come on Channel 55 here in Houston. I don't know if you know. Uh-huh. Used to come on right after Houston. I forgot what that show was called, but it was like a hip hop type show that showed local, you know, local business and local artists and stuff like that. And they were our competition. We had like 7 million viewers. They had a little bit more than us, but we were kicking their butt. But when I tried to get an interview with him, because he was a garden, you know, you have a store called Reggae Hut, so okay, Caribbean, whatever. Man, this fool told me he ain't doing no interview with me regarding nothing regarding the Caribbean or anything like that. So I'm like, okay, then what's the purpose you have in a Jamaican business, so-called Reggae Hut, and sell Jamaican food, but then you don't want to do nothing in regards to the Jamaican or Caribbean community? I said, man, you're a fraud, man. So, you know, I ain't gonna lie, I had bad experience with him, so to speak. So, yeah, when you mention his name or mention what it is you're trying to do with him, I'm like, man, you good luck on that one, because he does.
Yeah.
He's a little funny. He's a little funny. I don't know if you know him personally, but he is kind of funny.
Nah, not at all. I met him once when I was in the Breakfast Club, but that was it. We had maybe a 10-second exchange.
He talk a good game, but when it come down to it, he don't deliver. So,
okay.
I got to say, good luck on that one, but maybe you have an experience with him.
If it don't happen on Tuesday, you know, the article has to be in on Wednesday. So if it don't happen, it don't happen.
Yeah. But besides that, man, let's talk about business, man. Let's talk about everything that's been going on with the whole Sandra Bland, the whole situation with this man, brother.
Oh man, look here, brother.
These white folks.
You done opened up a can of worms that actually may be the reason why I'm tired, man, because I didn't have to scream on black folk on Monday and Wednesday. And it's rare for me to scream on people and call them just niggas. They have started, they decided, the City Council agreed to change University Drive to Sandra Bland Way.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And these Negroes have gone behind them. The mayor, who's the old Uncle Tom ass nigga, then went behind them and started a petition that they got 600-700 signatures on right now to prevent it from being changed.
Are you fucking, pardon my friend, but are you serious?
Yep. They're saying, what has she done? Why would we honor her? What are y'all thinking about?
Yeah. Wow.
You know, when you deal with that, you know, you're just kind of like, they ain't really anything I can even say to y'all. If y'all don't know why.
Wow. Because you know why? Because there's a lot of whites that, and I did, in fact, read an article, as a matter of fact, I posted on my Facebook, and I even posted a whole long, this one particular comment of this white guy that was on the actual post itself, where he posted all her tickets that extended from Chicago all the way here in Texas back to Chicago and back again here in Texas, and I guess him noting all of those things that she went through, like any average other black person, because we already know the system is designed to make money off of us anyway. I mean, the policy in itself, the public policy itself is designed to make money, but we know who they make most of their money from. But anyway, he made a whole list of all the things that this woman did in regards to so-called breaking the law, as in a sense, where he was in a sense justifying or making an argument as to why it was that happened to her, you know.
See, my thing is though that this is all black folk doing this. These are all black folk. I was undone when students in my class, they were like, "No, well, she shouldn't have that honor." You know, it was University Drive when my grandmother was here. It should be that way forever. And I'm just like, you know, where do you go in explaining anything to people like that? What do you say to them when they
you can't say nothing to them. You can't, yeah. Dr. Jones. You really and truly can't. From my experience, I'm wasting my time. I would be wasting my time talking to fools. Now, I have dropped some knowledge on their ass sometimes, but then when it comes down to it, I'm like, you know what? It ain't even worth talking to fools like those because they are a typical modern-day Sambo from your Uncle Tom cabin character, okay?
Yeah.
See, a lot of people say Uncle Tom, but really and truly, Uncle Tom was the warrior and the rebel in the book. He was the one who fought against the white man or the master and everything, and he sacrificed himself for the greater good of his the other slaves. It was Sambo was the one that was the traitor. And you got your modern-day Sambos who are a bunch of goddamn traitors who, to be honest with you, if you even go say nothing to them that even makes sense, they will fight against you even more and look at you like you're freaking crazy. Because at the end of the day, they're not worrying about your benefit. They're worrying about their benefit.
Yeah,
ain't nothing you can offer to them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just literally undone. I'm like, yo, if we're that lost, then there probably isn't any hope if our young people can't see it, and the people who are supposed to be leading them can't see it. You know.
They can't see it, Dr. Jones. You and I both know that they see it, but it's all politics.
I can't even call it. I just really can't.
Wow, though, I can't believe that. Well, yes, I can, because there's a whole lot of them around here nowadays. So I honestly, for me to say I can't believe that will be actually an honest statement. Because there are plenty of Sambos that are out there. So,
yeah.
Oh, man, Jesus Christ. I didn't hear that part. This is the first I heard that it was actually blacks. Yeah. But look at the town, though, Dr. Jones. Look at the town.
I mean, I understand all that, but at the same time, I'm still undone that that black folk have a problem honoring Sandra Bland. I have a hard time understanding that, and nobody's going to be able to explain it to me.
The way I look at it is that just like I was mentioning earlier about the white guy, is that you have a lot of whites that are protesting against the fact or feel that this whole situation, you know, is being blown out of proportion with the fact that so many blacks are protesting. Now, keep in mind, they came back with so-called a finding to say that she, you know, hung herself and this and that, which I have a big problem with that. There's just some from the research that I've done and the digging that I've done, how in the world can a woman that's supposed to be 6 feet tall, right, hang herself with an elastic plastic bag in a cell that is that on average is 6 by 10, okay? For this woman to hang herself with a damn bag that's going to stretch in a 6 by 10 cell, and she's 6 feet tall, and she was well aware of her surroundings and wasn't drugged up or anything like that, I find that, especially when they talk about it for 6 years, I find that to be very, very suspicious in my eye. Now, I'm no expert, but I'm also no mother freaking dummy, okay? Now, with the fact that a lot of white folks are, in fact, and your combos are protesting that, hey, you know, this should be dropped because it's been found out that, I mean, the experts that have done the so-called analysis on her, autopsy and all that other bull crap, that they've done all of that and they found out that she, in fact, killed herself. Now, the independent report or the request for an independent analysis to be done, they still haven't gotten the results back as yet, which is funny because the first results came back within days. So why is it that these results now are taking so long to come back? I don't know. So everything really hasn't been finalized yet. So for anyone to sit there and say, oh,
Oh, get over it. It's already been determined that she hung herself, and it's not foul play, and blah, blah, blah. And it's mostly white. I think that's why some of these so-called Sambos are feeling, in a sense, that this would be an embarrassment to us to be, upholding this woman, the assassination of this woman. I don't care what nobody say. She was assassinated, okay? Yeah, she didn't get her head blown off, but she was assassinated. I don't care what no one say. With the history of that town and the way that officer even dealt with... My wife is coming in the car making up noise, y'all. Anyway,
You were talking about the history of that town.
Yes, there you go. The history of that town that I've done the research on regarding them, and especially in a lot of town, little small towns here in Texas, and the way that police officer handled himself when he dealt with this woman for no reason, okay, for no reason beside a freaking light, okay, or a turn signal, I'm sorry, lets me know that there's definitely something, that needs to be addressed that's not being addressed. Another thing, I have been in, it's nothing to be proud of, but I've been in enough jails and I've been locked up enough to know that they have cameras all over this place. They have cameras all over those facilities, even where that cell is. Now, they can pick and choose the different camera footages that they want to pick and choose, but you can't give the exact and precise footage for where it was that this incident occurred. Why is that? Huh? Why is that? You sons of bitches are hiding something, and you don't want something to be known. And it's sad to say, because we have Sambos and we have a bunch of freaking foolish, loud mouth white folks or whatever that have enough power to dictate what and what that can be shown and what and what cannot be shown, we might never get to the bottom of this. It's going to be another one of those situations where they're just going to throw it underneath the rug, and it's going to be just never been solved until maybe 30, 40, 50 years from now, when pretty much everybody done died off that was close to this whole incident, and that would be relevant enough so that they can't come back and do nothing against these people, And it's sad to say. It's sad.
I agree, brother. Wholeheartedly.
Yeah, well, let's move on to the next one. What about this brother busting cap in these white folks?
Sorry, I cannot get anyone on the line for the story. Look,
yeah, that was. I can't believe they didn't notice that he was standing there with a gun.
Okay.
I'm like, how little awareness must y'all have?
It's on West of New York and.
That's why I find that particular incident a little funny. Now, you all know that I have been a victim of, my last incident of being popped, okay? So, and as a matter of fact, I don't know if y'all will remember, I came on the show doing it while I was healing up, okay? And one thing's for sure,
okay,
you're going to come up to me with a gun that close. You on the back of this man's head. This you right in the peripheral, right in the view, of this woman right to her side. You lift your hand up, show that you got a pistol pointed towards these so-called victims, right? More than once, then you step back, and you're looking. And you on wood now. Wood that, because they're on top of a balcony-type deal that's made out of wood. You're going to echo. Anybody who know that you walk on wood like that, you're going to echo, okay? When you walk up, that wound gonna crackle and you're gonna echo. Boop, 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 boop. You see this coming, and you don't look, and you can't see this man about to bust a cap in your hand. And then he busts a cap, but this is what she did. She jumps, right? Like, For one, you don't see no fire come out of that gun. Two, no kind of blood or any kind of, of the bullet going in and anything, blood splattering out or anything, no redness on her clothing, no nothing. Then she ducks and crouches, and then she took off running full speed ahead after getting popped a few more times, right? Then the next one, they shouting out, screaming, hey, 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 hey. And then if you even look at the scene where the man that's filming initially, he moves away and he's filming off into the wilderness somewhere or whatever, not even filming the people that was actually doing the interview. So what kind of bull crap? I'm sorry. If they're trying to say that's what happened right there that killed these people, I find it hard to believe, because even when he bust the gun was acting a little too much like it's a freaking damn, we call them guns that that have the fake bullets in them again. We call it fake bullets again.
Starter pistol.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Like a starter pistol.
And I will call back to confirm the address.
I want to say yes. If you want to, that's not really the word I'm looking for, but in a sense it is, because it's echoing too much. A gun don't echo like that. That's from my experience. I don't know what kind of gun it is, but as big as that looked like, maybe like it was a 9 or a 45, maybe even a 38 or something. So in the man, the noise that was coming from it, and like I said, no fire came from that gun, okay? Fire going to always come from a gun, from another of a gun. I don't care what gun it is. Fire going to come from it, okay? I didn't see no damn fire at all, but I think I saw smoke, which is why, once again, I said, that don't look right. Okay, it just doesn't look right. I could be wrong, because I ain't no freaking expert, but something just don't look right. It don't add up, okay? It don't add up at all. You know? So this right here might be another situation of a racial thing where you're going to hear them say, here we go, this is why we need to curb gun, you know, get gun control and this and that and that and this, because they're going to keep trying. They're going to try with whites. It ain't work. They're going to try with blacks. They're going to try using blacks getting fascinated by whites so we can get furiated. They're going to try do all kind of stuff to try to get us on that bandwagon of what? Trying to control, get gun under control. And the main person trying to push this is, yes, Obama. Okay?
Why we got to go?
We
got
to be from here.
Okay? So, come dry. So, you know, come dry. So, you know, that right there to me is just, is you know, is a bunch of bull. Because, you know, that person, I just think we need to, you know, really take the time to analyze that situation, or that scene a little bit more before we jump, you know, jump on the bandwagon of, you know, this whole, you know, violence is happening and needs to stop. And then next minute, you know, they're going to talk about, like I said, let's control guns. And then you're going to hear people talk about, yeah, we need to control guns. Especially now when you see white folks getting killed. You know them white folks going to want to talk about, we got to start. We got to get these guns under control, because guess what? We've been killing too much of these Negroes, and they're going to start trying to kill us. So we got to, you see, they're killing us off. So we need to get these guns under control. And that's exactly what's going to end up happening. But you know what's going to end up happening? We are going to be the ones that's going to be left suffering, because the average black can't get a gun or a pistol, whereas the average white can, and probably already have tens and have a good 100 or some even have more than that. They got a bunch of stockpiles. So, you know, if gun control were to get into effect, we're the one that's going to be affected the most by this. We are the one. And we can't go get no illegal guns, because trust and believe, they're going to come and look at us any damn way to make sure that we don't have any. And if we do have any, we're going to be the ones to get in trouble for it, and we're the one that's going to suffer the most should there be any kind of legal, repercussion or whatever pertaining to firearms, like we already are. So, you know, people going to look at this as just the initial gist of it and thinking, oh, this is just about, you know, getting guns under control and taking their hands out of, you know, criminals or people who's bad. But they don't realize this ain't got nothing. This is more than that. You know, this is more than that. And I think it's going to open up a can of worms to get to it.
Peace. You got a caller in queue.
All right.
All right, let me open him up. I believe it's Brother Yal, and I'll make sure. Peace. Welcome to Sign of the Times. Who are we speaking with? Zero 0961, your mic is open.
Oh, hello.
Oh, peace. How are you, sis?
Okay. I wanted to comment on what the brother was just now talking about with guns. And how if something should jump off, we would be defenseless. I would like to say that we always look at our situation as being hopeless, but I was looking into flamethrowers. It sounds funny, but yeah. Fire is probably what we'll have to learn how to maneuver to use as weapons. And I was looking at flamethrowers. They go like about 10, 11, 12 feet, and they're easy to build. So I just wanted to say to you, when push comes to shove and we do have to defend ourselves, that we should start looking at what we do have at our disposal and what we can build. And flamethrowers are very good weapons.
Hello?
Yeah, I never thought about a flamethrower, but whatever works, shoot.
It actually had me running.
Bow and arrow too. We need to start investing in bow and arrows. I know we don't want to get too deep into talks like these, but that is something we need to look into, because they are very powerful. Bow and arrows can be some very powerful things.
Yeah, not to use as to commit any crime, but as self-defense. I mean, that's what we have to do.
Yes, I agree. Now, don't get me twisted. I'm not one to sit here. I'm not trying to, trying to incite no type of, unnecessary violence towards anyone or any particular group whatsoever, because that's not what I'm about. But I am definitely inciting that, as blacks in this country and the diaspora all over, we do need to start, acquiring self, defense, mechanical weaponry or whatever. Because everywhere else in the world, if you notice, everywhere else in the world, they're suffering. They're going through all kinds of issues, and many of them, are being oppressed and suppressed, for the simple fact that they have no way of protecting themselves. And I don't want that to be the case in this country again, because if we ever notice, instead of us going forward, we're actually going backwards. In these times, there's nothing post-racial about our society. We're actually still, in a messed up situation, and we're the ones suffering the most. I don't want to hear nothing about white folks this and everybody else this. I'm talking about us, because it's us. We should be getting murdered and killed not only by ourselves but by others as well. And it seems like it's an accepted popular trend to kill black folks. Now, like I said, not only by our own selves but by everybody else. So we need to start looking into this, man, a little deeper. And stop talking about this is just conspiracy and it ain't gonna happen. A lot of things we thought wasn't gonna happen, what we see they're happening in these days. So we need to do better. Mississippi, Alabama, and all those people re-signed their damn slavery contract. Why are these states signing their slavery contract? Do they know something we don't know? Is it that because they know that Emancipation Proclamation contract was only a contract that was supposed to last for 100 years, and that 100 years is up? So in a sense, slavery can go into effect at any given moment. I know y'all might say that can never happen, but yeah, it sure can happen. We didn't think gay homosexuals were gonna have rights like the way, and it is. They do. So we better stop thinking shit can't happen. Real talk.
Boy. One of the things that I know we've heard and talked about on Sign of the Times is that, you know, whatever the ultimate goal is, it's all based on capitalism, it's all based on imperialism, and it's all based on greed. Now, there are going to be many ways that we're going to have to fight that economically, politically, socially, and with self-defense. And I think, you know, it's a good thing that, you know, she has talked in spring, you know, as an option when we are looking at the self-defense portion, because, you know, it's like we have to be prepared for almost anything, because I don't know how you all feel, but, you know, just bearing witness to Sam Dubose case, bearing witness to what happened to Sister Sandra, bearing witness to the brother who allegedly, you know, shot these two news reporters. You know, if that story is true, we don't know what triggered his ultimate, you know, after 2 years of having been fired. We don't know what the final straw was that broke the camel's back, if the story is true. And that's what it seems like to me. Like, it's sending us a message that we're in a time period where things are just totally unpredictable. And what we choose to do about it is going to be based on how many of us can find common ground and how many of us can, I guess, muster resources, you know, in the meantime, between time, before the shit really hits the fan. So, you know, I appreciate her chiming in with that suggestion. I appreciate your energy and Dr. Jones as well. But we got to get our shit together. We got to get a game plan. We got to continue to have dialogues that are going to build on the things that we've already done and we've already talked about. I also see a big uptick in militias forming, militias that are from these so-called, I think it's peacekeepers or something like that, that are supposed to be this group of policemen who are saying, you know, pretty much fuck the police, and that they're saying that they're not going to continue to allow these senseless murders to happen. There's also an uptick in white militias, but there's also an uptick in black militias as well. So what can we do, you know, for those of us who, okay, say we want to, say if I want to, you know, stand on the political aspect, or I want to stand on the social aspect, or I want to stand, you know, and try to protect the children and build something around that. What can we do to link up with those people who are saying, you know what, you know, I agree with you, we need to get, you know, prepared for in a military format. What can we do now to link up with those people so that it's not just us defending, you know, a sole fort per se, but there's actually a group of us or an actual militia of us that are prepared to go to fight if we have to. And I'm good.
One thing for sure, I don't think trying to link up with them would be over the phone or over the internet, because as we should know by now, we are being spied on. That's no longer a conspiracy. That's no longer a theory. It's actually a fact that we're being spied on. So we definitely can't do that. That's a good question. How can we link up with these fellas, you know, these guys without, you know, I don't know. I really and truly don't know. How can we? That's a good question, sis. So, but we need to figure something out, because obviously they're out there and they got formed through how which way that they got formed. So there got to be a way that we can link up with them. It's just a matter of how can we do it in a discreet manner without being spied on or looked on, because I'm hearing stories time and time after again where people are, you know, are having conversation or dialogue on Facebook or social media or even over the phone, and then next minute they know somebody knocking at their door, they're being followed by people, being trailed, and then they're being pulled over and being asked to come down to to the agency or to the precinct for further questioning and whatever. So, you know, we know that when it comes to us as blacks, trying to do anything like that, you know, the odds is going to definitely be on us a little bit more than they would, you know, the white counterparts, so to speak. You know, it's just like Black Panther. The Black Panther Party has been dismantled many times over, even with the new one, they're trying to destroy it, but yet and still you see the Ku Klux Klan going good and strong and even supporting racist, terrorist people, you know, ones like that one kid that killed 9 people in a church. That fool got $1 million raise just so he could have, you know, a financial backing. Black folks get killed. We don't have none of that, you know.
Don't we have any of that? Why don't we have any of that? And what can we do to get some of that? What do we repeatedly do incorrectly that causes us to be so behind and have to play catch up on everything, whether it be politics or whatever? We're constantly catching up, constantly in hold of, you know, what now instead of prepared for what.
You're breaking up, sis. You went out of there. I didn't.
Yeah, I said we're constantly in catch-up mode, you know, whether it be dealing with self-defense or not. And personally, you know, I've dealt with New Black Panther Party when I went to New York City for the Million Youth March, and it was a joke, a complete joke.
Mm-hmm.
There was
infighting
and then there was actual, I guess, camaraderie, if you will. So I would put my eggs in that basket. I mean, eggs in the basket with you and Dr. Jones. And I believe, who was that, Sister Maxine?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I'd hatch my eggs with you all before I would hatch my eggs with these so-called the
original party, but that's a process. I don't know if you're moving around, sis, but you're going in and out. You're going in and out at each time.
If we had to make a move, we need to know that we can call certain people. And know that they're going to, you know, help us. And right now, I can see where we have that. And that word, you know, because I am so close to being involved in the community on a day-to-day basis, I feel a lot. It's very concerning that we aren't prepared. Very concerned. I feel the same way Dr. Jones feels, like, you know, what else can I say? What else can I do? And what else can we leave to our people to let them know that we need to leave, you know, the mainstream images alone of who we are and find out who we are in and of ourselves? You know, what is it that we need to do?
If many of our so-called mainstream media venues were legitimate Black agendas, I think we would be able to do the same thing that white mainstream agendas do, and that is, you know, use, you know, manipulation through, you know, through visual. But sadly, we have that venue, but we don't have that Black support that they try to, portray that they are about with these venues, the people that own these venues. Now, the whole question about why it is we don't play catch-up, you pretty much answered the question, sis. The reason why we're playing catch-up is because, see, those organizations, those white organizations, know that they, in fact, are the minority. Despite, you know, your program devices, your popular program devices, ordinary program devices will portray like, you know, white folks are the majority, but in reality, they are the minority, even in this country, okay? Now, with that being the case, these people know that they have to, regardless of whatever, they have to put their differences aside. And they know they have to work together. They know what it takes to get to be successful, and they know what it takes to be in power to where you can dictate, which is the true and epitome definition of racism, okay, is that you are able to dictate, control, and pretty much do as you please.
and cause an effect on and on a particular individual and or group, which is what happens to us. Okay, that's why we can never be true racist or practice racism, because we don't have that power.
Okay, then, all right.
Now, when it comes to us as blacks in general, we do not have that glue, so to speak, that whites or others tend to have. Not to say we cannot have it, but for whatever reason, we do not have it. It took us over 400 years to somewhat get out of that type of mentality. It's going to take us another 400, maybe 800 years before we get out of it. We're slowly moving into that direction. We're starting to actually have an idea of who we are and where we actually come from. Because even to this day, you know, I'm just different. But there's a lot of people that don't even want to, you know what I'm saying, make a connection to themselves and Africans, because for some reason they feel that's beneath them. It'll be lowering who they are as black Americans to say that they're actually African. You understand? So if we can't even get past the fact that, or should I say, come to grips with the fact that we are who we are, how in the world are we going to even try to, how are we going to then be able to work with each other, you know, in a manner in which we would need to, you know, to be a unit, you know? Because like you said, you have your RBGs, you have your, we have a Black Panther Party, we have this over here, that over here, NAACP's over here, and neither of them want to work together or are willing to work together. Because why? Each of them have their own idea and think that this person is a hoodlum and that person is too bougie, or that person is too stupid. I mean, we just all over the place. We all over the place, and we cannot be a unit. We're not being a unit right now. I hate using the word can, because we can, you know, but we're not being a unit right now because we're too conflicted amongst ourselves, and we need to stop that. If we can do that, because this is the simplest thing, but yet it seems so hard. If we can put our differences aside, okay, even though I'm not religious, I'll still work with a Christian or a Muslim or whatever practice you practice. You understand what I'm saying? Because if your mind is in the same mindset as mine, okay, then, hey, we can come together as one and resolve the problems that we have. But for some reason, it's hard for people to understand that on a mass scale, but yet it's so freaking simple. And I think that's where our problem lies.
Well, I know one of the first steps in healing, when there has been such a wide separation, is atonement. And I know when my brother went to the Million Man March, that, you know, that's what Minister Farrakhan called for. He called for atonement. And I do believe that the brothers came back with the most sincere effort. Those who went there, you know, with the mindset of uniting and coming together and healing our differences. Even the Crips and the Bloods have come together, mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. here recently more so. So they came back with that hope that, you know, Minister Farrakhan would stick to what he had spoken about. And that was making sure that, you know, there were going to be certain committees set up in cities. There were going to be projects that were going to be worked on a national level, so that there would be, you know, nationwide support for initiatives that people wanted to start at home. And again, I can only speak from what I saw happen. I saw absolutely nothing happen. And now, you know, there's this big push for 10-10-15. It says justice or else or something like that, to that effect. And I just don't really understand what that means, because I remember, you know, I experienced it. My brother experienced it. His friends experienced it, that took money to rent vehicles to drive all the way to Washington, D.C. to be a part of that unity building, and nothing happened. So, I'm also anxious, just as anxious, about, you know, what this 10-10-15 is supposed to do, or is this just another way for
you know, recruitment for the NOI. And I yield with that. I'd like to get everybody's opinion on that.
Could you expound on what 10-10-15 actually is?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure. It looks like it's supposed to be another million-man march to a certain extent. They're trying to get people to come to Washington, D.C. under the name of justice. It has this hashtag, justice or else. And I'm not clear on, you know, justice or else. What does that mean? What is the, you know, itinerary? What is the purpose of folks coming to Washington, D.C. on 10-10-15 when we know economically things are worse off than they were, well, they certainly haven't gotten any better since the first Million Man March and since the Million Woman March and the Million Child March and, you know, whatever march, you know, shit's not getting any better. And so I'm not clear it's supposed to do what its purpose is. You know, I'm unclear on it too, but I know it's under the hashtag or under the auspices of justice or else. What does that mean? And why are people supporting it with, you know, with just that, a promise on the is come from Minister Farrakhan? I really don't understand that. So I'm confused too. I don't know what, you know, I don't know what it's supposed to be about either. I'm just as in the dark as anyone else. But I know people are putting money in to get buses to go. I know people are saying that they want to attend, but what are we actually attending, and what does it mean to our people? How is that going to help us?
Well, I personally haven't heard anything regarding the 10-10-15. It's something I might have. Is that the where Dr. I mean not Dr. but where Farrakhan was trying to have people to so-called 10-10? Well, no, that's 10-10-15. No, that's something different. I thought that was the one where he was having people to raise money so that we could so-called start building our own finance, I guess, bank or whatever. I think it was something like that a couple of years ago. Don't give me the line, but I was thinking maybe that's what you were talking about with the 10-10-15, but that's something totally different. But the 10-10-15, you're saying it's like another million man march where they're gonna go what, to Washington? Is this gonna be in Washington or somewhere else?
Yes, it's in Washington.
Hmm.
I also heard Minister Farrakhan on a video say that while they're in Washington, D.C., that they will be calling for 10,000 men to recruit them for, I believe, this race war. I don't know if anyone else heard that, but there was a video of Minister Farrakhan circulating on Facebook. I listened to it, and he said that he was going to call on 10,000 men.
Mm.
And then I'm also hearing that the white supremacists, I believe it is, are supposed to be, they're supposed to be a large group of them coming to that rally. For what reason, I don't know. So there were men that were saying that they don't feel comfortable going to that event because of what's going on in the country.
White folks ain't going to come nowhere. Because if them white folk supremacists was that big and bad and bold, they would be doing simple little marches through the hood. They ain't coming to no damn rally or full with a number of black folks. They must want to get their head tore off, please. Unless they're going to come there and paint in black, black skin, so they can get up on out of here with that. They're probably just making up that noise just to see if, try to put scaring people or whatever it is and to start up some bull crap. But back to what Sister was saying, which is the question is, what is this march going to do? You know, what difference is it going to make? How is it going to be of any difference from the prior marches that we've done? And if you ask me, to be honest with you, not a damn thing. Now, I am a fan of Farrakhan with some of the things that he say and he has done, because he speaks some knowledge that the average so-called leaders in these days won't even speak or even touch on. You know what I'm saying? But to say, can he do it all by himself, and is he always legitimate? Now, sometimes I can find him a bit suspicious with some of the things that he has done or trying to do. But back to, you know, the whole thing of will this make any difference, I don't think so. And I think sometimes in some cases, we as black folks, we would jump, or just people in general, let me not just say black folks, but just people in general will sometimes jump on the bandwagon of the next big thing just so they can say they were part of something. But not what they've been a part of it really and truly is. It's like people nowadays who wear dreads They don't know there's a significance to wearing dread. That to wear dread, it signifies power and strength, you know, and a fight, you know, it represents struggle. It's not a fashion statement. You know, our ancients didn't wear it for fashion statement. They wore it because it represents strength. Like, if you want to think about what dread is, think about what Samson did in the Bible. You know what I'm saying? He had dreads, and it represented his strength. When they cut it, he lost all of that. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, us doing these marches and partaking in these marches, if you ask me, a lot of times I think people just do it just for the hell of it. They could say that they were a part of it, and that they were involved in something that is so-called a piece of history, but not what it is supposed to. What is it really designed for? What is it? What's its intention? Is it really to invoke change or what? Is it going to, you know, make a difference with our struggle? I mean, is it going to solve any problem for us? And if you ask me, I'm going to say hell no, because we've been marching and doing this same shit for many years. For as long as slavery's been in this country, we've been doing it all over the world. So, I mean, it's something else needs to be done. I don't know, you know, nobody wants to talk about it, but to be honest, if bloodshed is going to have to be shed, you know, is going to have to occur in order for anything to really make a change. That always hit them where it really counter, and where it really matters, that's their bank, you know, their financial stability. You know, if you can't hurt them physically, hey, then hit them in their pockets. We see that doesn't work.
Sister Brigitte has joined us, so let's read this real quick. I'm looking right now at the 10-10-15 website. It's www.justiceorelse.com. Like that, but you can find it. I just Googled it, and it says, "Join the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in Washington D.C. October 10, 2015. Help us maintain our independence and defray the cost of this event by making donations for whatever this is." And it has agitprop information here. 45.3 million people in the U.S. are living in poverty. We're aware of that. Two times black unemployment is twice that of white. 60% of people in prison are black and Latino. We are aware of that because of the mass incarceration that's been going on for decades. 28 hours from now, police will have murdered someone black. And 1 million plus people will mobilize on 10-10-15 to create change. And it goes into failing educational system, unjust killings. There's a lot of agitprop information here, but it still does not say what they're going to be doing and you know, how people, I guess, need to prepare in case any shit does jump off. I mean, I don't have a lot of faith in this thing, and it's being marketed as though, you know, it's a new million man march, except for their, you know, saying that women and children can't.
you know, I bear the same concern as Sister Maxine expressed. You know, I would not take my children to an event where, you know, they're intentionally agitating for white supremacists to come and contradict or combat the event that's going to be happening that way. I wouldn't feel safe there as a woman, and I certainly wouldn't put my children in that situation. So I'm just really unclear on what this whole thing is about and what its whole purpose is. And, you know, and as a black woman, I should know. I mean, if it's supposed to be for my benefit, you know, on the other hand, I feel like I should know, like, okay, so if my brother goes or if my cousins go or, you know, if my son decides he wants to go, I'd like to know, you know, what is he doing? What is he putting himself at risk for? Or what is he putting himself in a position to benefit from? So welcome, Sister Bridgette. Thank you for calling back.
Oh, what's up? What's up, y'all?
Hey.
Hello. How's everybody doing tonight? Basically, my opinion on the subject is, well, I won't be watching it. I guess I'll watch it on YouTube, but I don't really watch stuff live and stuff like that. And so far as, like, gathering like that, I don't see how that's going to make a difference. Maybe if it's going to be something hot, but, like, if it's going to be, like, mainstream media involved, then I don't see a good positive effect.
Get some information requests. If it's going to take a while, then I might have to call back at a later time. So I would be willing, interested in doing the membership, but I won't have enough time.
Sure.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. I think
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I don't want to be rushing. I don't want to have to rush you. What about
here?
The free, the one time thing you were telling me about?
Hello?
Yeah, Dr. Jones, are you still?
Yes, ma'am, I'm still here.
Okay. Do you have any information about 10-10-15?
You know, no, I don't have any information about it. I mean, I have a cousin who's a Nation of Islam, who I know is going. But, you know, no, I don't. You know, and a big part of me, you know, I think back to the original Million Man March. And the one thing that I kind of knew was going to occurred, and it is quite simply that so many brothers went ahead and went there. And, I thought that they were kind of trying to escape their problems and be a part of something that was much bigger. And as you put it, they spent all this money and went to D.C., spent, you know, buses, everything you can imagine, hotel rooms and what have you. And when they got off that bus, those problems were still there, sitting there facing them. And, you know, it's, you know, John Henry Clark said it this way. He said, what we have now are Hollywood revolutions, where it's lights, camera, and no action. And, you know, it's the same thing over and over again. You know, they feel good while they're there, but nothing ever comes out of it. And I yield with that.
I just saw a lot of inaction afterwards, but a lot of promises. And I watched the entire thing on, you know, CNN. I think it was. I heard all the speeches. You know, I think people had a lot of faith. There was going to be effort to bring people who are not part of the Nation of Islam together. And, you know, I'm not sure why that didn't happen, but, you know, I just bearing witness to the local NOI, it's a lot of smoke and mirrors. You know, people who are out here on the grassroots level who want to get involved with the community, a lot of times they're the ones that are being blocked and suspended for doing too much. So, yeah, I didn't know if anyone else who was a part of the conversation might have had more information than I did, but, you know, evidently not. It seems like
you know, going to be a good opportunity for them, for the nation to make some money to be.
That's what it looks like.
Yep. Notice it's always Washington, too. Notice it's always the state capital that they always going to go do these things that's going to cost thousands and thousands and raise millions of dollars for. Nowhere else. They're not bringing it into the black neighborhoods like in Atlanta or Harlem or over in Chicago where Louis Farrakhan is. His father's going all the way to the damn state capital over there in D.C. where the damn the National Bank and Reserve is. Going to give the money right to them sons of bitches building up their damn city. So it ain't, I mean, that's why I'm like, a lot of times when I, you know, even though I'm a fan of Farrakhan, like I say to an extent, you know, a lot of times when I see this, like Dr. Jones said, which pretty much confirmed, you know, or agreed to what I was saying earlier, and that a lot of times these people do what they do, and they do it just to say they want to be a part of history, or just to be a part of that event, so to speak, mm-hmm. you know, for what it's for. Nobody really have a true relevance. Because like you said, yeah, you're going to so-called address these things or bring attention to these things. We know these things already. Now, okay, you have the power to somewhat, you know, instill change. So are you going to instill change? Are you going to do something to help us resolve this problem? Or are you just going to sit there and talk about it like you did every damn other time before, which doesn't do nothing for us, but, you know, in a sense, you know, the same problem is going to exist even after all that bull crap is done with.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask this. Are we in a position to demand a certain amount of accountability from them since they, you know, call themselves doing this on our behalf? Are we in a position to demand to do some results out of this? Or would that be
no.
taken anti-black for us coons?
No, but, you know, of course they would consider us anti-black or coonish or whatever because, I mean, you know, you never know. You have to sit back and, like, you know, just like Van Van was saying yesterday when the people, the record labels who were coming down to Augusta, I would have to do my research to find out who these people are. You know, even though they're kind of well-known or whatever, but still, like, you still have to do your research on the agenda. And we really don't know if he's real, really, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you can't just jump on the bandwagon with people when you don't even know the real agenda behind stuff, you know? Because, I mean, he did it before, so why would we have to march again to do the same thing? What is marching doing for us? Nothing. It has not done nothing for us over the years, so why are we going to keep on doing it? What needs to be done is, you know, encouragement of getting in, you know, not in control, but having, like, a voice, your opinion, even if you're in the background. Like, myself, you know, I call my congressman whenever I have a problem. Don't we, pumpkin? We be on it. We call the congressmen, we call our city leaders whenever we have a problem about anything. And that's what's going to make a difference, not marching. I mean, come on now. I can march up the street right now. What is that going to do for the world? Not a damn thing. So I don't see a difference of what it's going to make, and I'll fall back.
But even that calling ain't going to make no difference either, too. We can call all day all we want. You know, we've been calling, people have been calling, and all these marching, you know, linking up with white folks, all we want, and all we've been doing is helping their agenda, but nothing has been done for us. I think what
yeah.
it is we need to take advantage of the fact that we are the 59th strongest economic system in the world, okay, of the 100-something-plus countries in the world. We are not fifth or ninth in the world.
Ninth.
Need to take advantage. We need to take full advantage of that. We need more people like a Magic Johnson, not a Michael Jordan, because that mother father right there, I could kick him in his ass if I could, okay? But I know he's too tall, so I'm going to have to try to get on a ladder and kick him in his ass. But we need more people like a Magic Johnson, okay, and real
or like a LeBron James, or like a Akon, you know, people who we know that are really about black agenda and about real black power and the upliftment and progression of blacks, and we and start make, you know, opening up our home, you know, I mean, just start investing. I mean, come together in communities and start investing. Build up community. Don't just open up shop in the community, but build them up. You know, build houses, build homes, and let it be ran by blacks. Open up businesses that are going to be ran by blacks. Banks, you know. And we can't say it can't be done or it's never been done before because it has been done. Yeah, it was tore down and bombed wherever we had them at, you know, because Black Wall Street in Oklahoma ain't the only place that had a Black Wall Street. We had Black Wall Street here in Texas and everywhere else. But we know that those places are secluded and we don't hear much about them because they make sure we don't. So we need to, you know, unite as one with all the different, you know, businesses and financial organizations that are all throughout this country. We need to come together and do it. Now, that's what we need to do in business, in situations like what the Clinton 15 is doing, is that, you know, Farrakhan needs to bring awareness to the fact of, you know, the black, you know, economic power that we have in this country and the black businesses that exist in this country, and that he should encourage people to start investing, and that these businesses or organizations need to start investing in our neighborhoods and amongst, you know, and be for black and just black, you know, just like the rest of motherfuckers that do, okay? And we can see ourselves in a situation where we will grow. That's what needs to, that's what we need to use, you know, forums like 10-10-15 to do, is bring awareness to black financial power in this country, instead of bringing awareness to the problems we already freaking know exist. Because people are going to get tired, like, damn, motherfucker, we are, pardon my French, damn, we already know these things already. What are you going to do, fool? You know, nobody want to keep hearing the same, you know, stupid stuff over and over again, but nobody's coming up with a solution to fix it. So this is what you can do. This is how you can fix it.
Ashe, look, we're going to take a quick break. I gave Brother Bam my word that I would play his music that we didn't get an opportunity to play last night. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. But the question I'd like to ask when we come back is, we're entering the next 90 days, and these next 90 days start September 19th and run through December, I believe. During the next 90 days, we're calling the 90 days of action, okay? And October the 10th is going to fall within those 90 days. So what can we be doing in those 90 days that is action-oriented? What can we do to make sure that, you know, we're not going to spend those 90 days and look up and it's going to be, you know, January, and we can't say that, you know, we've made some progress socially, economically, or politically. So we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to play Bam's Bam Bam Valentine's or Amon Ra's new joint called Finished. So we'll be right back.
With my vision, don't worry, girl, I'll be alright. Long as I can keep my eyes off you, nobody's gonna tell nobody about what we getting into. Your body's too fine, you're wasting your time playing by the rules. We gon' do it like this tonight, and we gon' party like this tonight. Alright, we
gon' move like rings to a relay. Girl, I ain't got the time to debate. I just roll up and escape, baby.
I promise, as God is my witness, if she let me get it, I'ma handle my business, baby. Who's is it gon' make no difference? Cause it's mine, all mine. By the time I'm finished, I'm finished. Time I'm finished. Time I'm finished. Time I'm finished.
Girl, you looking good enough to me. Think you're making my water. But I can see a tangled in sheets. She on top of you or you on top of me. Or whatever we get caught up in. So we gon' do it like this tonight. Oh, we dance. We gon' party like this tonight. Like this tonight. Alright. We gon' move like rings to a relay. Girl, I ain't got the time to debate. I just roll up and we skate, baby.
I promise.
I'm going to speak specifically about me and what I'm doing. So over these next 90 days, what I'm going to do is actually develop workshops that are going to lend to a business idea that I have about multiculturalism and diversity. It's going to flow out of the Manhood, Race, and Culture platform that I'm using already. And so that'll be the action that I'm doing over the next 90 days. And I yield.
Well, I'm going to get my surgery Wednesday, and I'll be able to see once again. And once I get my sight back, I plan on hitting the ground running. I've been mentioning opening up accounts at Black-owned banks. So what I intend to do for the next 90 days is go around to Black-owned businesses and ask them if they would open up accounts online or in person at Black-owned banks. So that's what I plan on doing for the next 90 days and some.
Ashe, Brother Starboy had to disengage. He was getting ready to get in trouble with his old girl, so he had to go. So He said to send y'all his love, and he'll be back on Sunday for the conference call. What about you, Sister Brigitte? Sister Brigitte, are you here? Okay, let's talk about what Sahira is planning on doing for the next 90 days. I'm going to keep doing what I've been doing and trying to bring our people together on multiple levels. But I know that we have elections coming up, in November here in Ohio. And so my efforts will be going towards, one, voter education, voter registration, and two, trying to develop a people's voice so that by the next time our city council runs, we have four-year terms now, so their term won't be up until next November, and just so happens to coincide with the presidential election as well. So, what we're going to be doing here locally is trying to put together a people's slate that's going to be representative of what the people are saying that they want, and that's, improved economic conditions, lessening the school-to-prison pipeline, and opening up more educational opportunities for our youth instead of constantly relying on, every child succeed type of initiatives that, basically are just smoke and mirrors and lead us to absolutely nowhere. So we're putting together a boots-on-the-ground group here. And tomorrow and on Sunday, we are actually working on celebrating the end of Black August, and not in a celebratory, shake-your-booty type of manner, but in a way of working collectively and developing some initiatives that are going to be able to be measured and that are going to eventually get us the results that we, all are saying that we want to see happen. So that's what Queen Tahira, Vanessa, whoever else here in Cincinnati, and those, it's through the UAC even. I don't see why we can't work on a national agenda as well, because the same things that are going on here are going on in Augusta, Houston, and Chicago, and in other places as well. So if we can make it work here, then I think we can, kind of rubber stamp it to make it work in other places. So that's what I'm going to be doing. Sister Brigitte, are you here? All right. Well, maybe she stepped away.
I'm here.
Hello?
I put the phone on me. I'm sorry because I got background noise. But what I plan on doing for the next 30 days is, for my community, try to get involved with local policy, try to go to the meetings down there at the town hall meeting. Also, I promise you, Sister Vanessa, that I was going to do some street team and work as in collecting Black businesses information and send that on to you as well, and try to get some more people on Sign of the Time, as well as educate the students that I come in contact with on a daily basis, and also the teachers. And economically, I want to spend more money than I do usually with Black people and Augusta, try to get with my business partner. And I'm going to be in a photo shoot tomorrow, so, I'm hoping that my beauty will increase this business or whatever. So I'm trying to get that together tonight or whatever. And, make sure that I spend my dollar right with my own people. That's the main point, And also come up with a better plan in which I can infiltrate what I need to infiltrate for the Black community. And I'll fall back with that.
Okay. All right, y'all. Well, I appreciate everybody calling back tonight. I know this was a little later than usual getting everything started, but, I just felt like it was important that we, show that we're not quitters. We're not willing to just succumb when things are difficult, because we've been through way worse things than
having technical difficulties on Blog Talk. So I appreciate y'all. I appreciate you calling back, Ms. Maxine, Brother Star, Sister Brigette, and Dr. Jones for sure, because I know you're juggling 10 or 12 balls right now. So we appreciate you.
Yeah, we appreciate you too, Sister Vanessa. We really do, because you come on and you're dedicated. You're real, true humanitarian. You give your life to the people. And we really do appreciate and see the work that you've done, you know. And I appreciate you for showing your appreciation to me.
I say. All right, y'all, we're going to close with the UA because they were on Wednesday, and they have some very conscious music. They're, you know, out of Fort Worth, Texas, and have begun to network with Brother Star Boy. So hopefully that's going to lead to some things happening to where, you know, if we can't come together in Cincinnati or Augusta, that maybe we can come together in Houston by next summer. So I love y'all. I appreciate you. And we're going to close out with a joint from the UA. And we'll talk to y'all Sunday on the conference call. If not, definitely on Tuesday with Tuesdays with Dr. Jones. We'll talk to y'all soon. Closing out. Peace.
Love you, too.
Love you, too, sis.
Oh, shit. It's not playing, y'all. Hold tight. I reset that form.
Thank you. What you gonna do with the money? What you gonna do with the money?